In the 14th chapter, we have an elaborate understanding of the Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti. Aparaprakriti consists of the three gunas, and Paraprakriti is above the gunas. Although this chapter is entitled Gunatraya Vibhaga, in which as if the whole chapter is devoted to only three gunas, it is only an inadequate description. Actually, this chapter concentrates upon the state above the gunas. You will see towards the end of this chapter, Arjuna specially asks a question, please tell me the characteristics of one who has gone above the gunas. This is the special question which Arjuna asks, and the emphasis falls upon that description, one who has gone above the gunas. So this chapter, when it describes the three gunas, it is only an introduction. It's a description of Aparaprakriti. But the aim of the chapter is to show that you can go from Aparaprakriti into Paraprakriti.
That will come on 15.
Pardon? No. In the 14th chapter itself, Sri Krishna answers this question. 14th chapter speaks of this very question. If you ask, verse number 21, in the 14th chapter, verse number 21, page number 577. Now here Arjuna asks the question, kaihi lingaihi trin gunan etan atitaha bhavati prabho kim acharaha katham cha etan trin gunan ativartate. By what marks, by kaihi lingaihi, by what marks one who has gone beyond atitaha gunan etan atitaha, one who has gone beyond the three gunas, trin gunan etan atitaha, how does one go beyond the three gunas, and what are the marks of one who goes beyond this? Kim acharaha, how does he act? Katham cha etan trin gunan ativartate, and how one transcends these three gunas? This is the question Arjuna asks, and the remaining portion of the entire chapter 14 is the answer to this question. What is gunatita?
In the second chapter also we explain netra gunya.
Yes, that's right, yes. That is already hinted. Now it is here that it is further expounded. How to become netra gunya? How you become without the three gunas?
And how is the Arjuna asked in a way which looks like
the acceptance is pregnant. Yes, it is a similar question here. Quite right.
It's outer, but it's such a deep...
This is a deeper aspect of it. Is it all right? So this 14th chapter is actually a chapter which describes the condition when you go above the gunas. It's a continuation of the 13th chapter where Prakriti and Purusha are distinguished. Then Apara Prakriti is described in this chapter with three gunas. And then a further step is taken as to how you go beyond the three gunas and what is the characteristic of that stage beyond the three gunas. And this is not yet complete. It is still further developed in the 15th chapter when the knowledge of Purusha and Prakriti is fully given, when threefold Purusha is described, Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha and Purushottama. You might say that is the real substance of the basic answer of Sri Krishna to Arjuna. You have to know the Purusha in all the three aspects. You have to know Prakriti as Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti. You must know how you can go beyond Aparaprakriti and enter into Paraprakriti. In the process, you come across the Devi Prakriti and Asurik Prakriti. Therefore, Sri Krishna gives in the 16th chapter a description of these. And then, in the process of moving upwards, there is a question of Shraddha, there is a question of works, question of the mind. These are discussed in the 17th and 18th chapter, and then the final word is given as to how you really enter into Paraprakriti forever and remain there and act from Paraprakriti. And the condition of it is complete surrender of the self to the divine.
But as this is by 15th, the knowledge is given.
Yeah, that is true. But these are the steps.
Yeah.
Is it all right?
Akshara, Akshara,
and Purushottama. Quite. You wanted to ask something?
I wanted to ask if you said that even after one is liberated, one can still be in Paraprakriti. Then where is the liberation?
Therefore, Sri Krishna doesn't regard it to be the final liberation. It should be. That's why Sri Krishna says, who is dearer to me? One who devotes himself is dear. But the dearer is one who remains in the dharma, the highest dharma, amritam dharma. So the real dharma of amritam, complete liberation, comes when you enter into sadharmya mukti. That is the whole teaching of the Gita, that you cannot really act in the world as a divine acts unless your nature becomes divine nature. Yes, that is a stage of your development. In the movement, mukti is defined as the loss of ego. Now, egoistic consciousness can be destroyed. Basic central egoism is destroyed when you see the divine, when you meet the divine, when you begin to live with him, or you forget everything in the world. So you throw away the Paraprakriti and live in the Supreme, become one with him. You are liberated. But Prakriti is not changed. So when you come back to action, then by what instrument will you act? That's why Sri Krishna says that unless you unite karma, jnana and bhakti, the will, emotion and thought, all the three are to be united and transformed. Normal action, normal emotion and normal thought belongs to a Paraprakriti. But you heighten all the three, unite all the three into the divine, then only you are lifted from Paraprakriti to Paraprakriti. Therefore, that bhakta who does it is dearer. One who only attains to his state of enjoyment of the divine is dear. But the dearer one is one who attains to this amritam dharma, who rises from the lower prakriti to the Paraprakriti and even acts with the Paraprakriti. Even the instruments are not sattva, rajas and tamas. This is one of the capital points in the Bhagavad Gita, that even in action, there is a very important question. He says, what is the condition? We were just now reading 21. If you read 22nd, his first answer is very worth reading. I am going so fast because you raised the question and it should be answered properly. So I am going on this 22nd verse.